to Isaiah 64. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. We don't know. We can't even imagine the things that are prepared, not just on a general basis, but I believe for every individual. And then 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, reads much the same. Verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I just want to stop here for a second. My mind has always gone to, oh, the glorious heaven that we're going to, the things that we're going to be able to see. But yesterday, as I was studying this out, it's not just then, but the things that God has prepared for us right now. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save or except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't it amazing that God gives us insight as to what's going on and what he is going to do? Hallelujah. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, that through it we could draw closer to you, have a better understanding of who you are and how great you are. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Church, what I want you to see here is that we don't understand the things that God hath prepared for each and every one of us. Not always the same thing for everybody, but God has individually prepared things for us. We're all different in a myriad of ways. There's no two fingerprints or eye prints that are the same. We're truly individual. There are certain things in each of our lives, circumstances and events and even trouble that help direct us to be the person that God wants us to be. And we couldn't be that person except God allows some things to come into our lives, and we are the lump sum of everything that has ever happened to us. But God reveals these things to us by his Spirit. It said, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And that word prepared means a special process or treatment, also to divide into parts to be measured out. So there are certain things that God prepares in each and every one of our lives. It's like you're baking a cake and all of the ingredients are measured carefully, mixed in and stirred up in order for there to be a purpose for something great in the future, something you can look forward to. Mix all the ingredients. Well, why? Because when it's done, it's going to be good. God is the apothecary mixing his ingredients of our lives so we turn out the way that he wants us to turn out. Amen. The title of my message this morning is The Fish, the Gourd, the Worm, and the Wind. And so the altar's open. It might need more explanation than that. But each and every one of us have these designated things within our life in order to get us to do what God wants us to do. So if you'll turn to Jonah. Starting in chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before thee. So here's the challenge. I want you to go to a place where people are wicked. They don't know me at all. And I want you to cry against them. You know what? That's the mandate that each and every one of us have. There's some people who are going to be destroyed. But I need you to go and I want you to cry upon them. Perhaps they will change their mind and repent. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Nothing worse than a preacher running from the presence of God. He went down into the ship, down into the water, down into the fish. You keep going down, down, down when you're running from God. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God, we think, will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. And said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Never even told him he was a preacher. And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and the tempest against them. Here's sinners trying to save a preacher. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now they believed in the one true God. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. As God was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Notice the men in the ship knew they were in trouble, and they came to Jonah and said, "O sleeper, arise, call upon your God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Jonah, talk to your God. How many times have we had situations where we've witnessed to relatives, we've witnessed to friends, and they are in some dire strait. They have a sickness, they have a problem, and they ask us to pray to our God, because we know that our God answers. God can deliver. They then ask Jonah what his occupation was, and he tells them that he's a preacher that's running from God. He tells them, "Just throw me overboard and the storm will cease." But they refused because they didn't want to throw him overboard. They tried everything they possibly could in order to save the ship. Sinners trying to save a preacher. So I won't go into all of the details of this story. Many of you have heard it over and over again. It's very familiar. But because Jonah refused to tell the lost city of Nineveh to repent to be saved, God had to subject Jonah to a special process to prepare him and change his mind. Because he wouldn't do what God said, God had to take matters in his own hands and prepare some things in order to cause him to change his mind.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Have you been there? I have. Now, because of the call on each and every one of our lives, there's a process that we must go through also. It's not the same process for everybody, but God has us in that process. I remember when I was presbyter of this section, there were many men that I interviewed for licensing, and I remember telling them there's a process that you have to go through, and it won't always be comfortable for you, but it will get you to the place that God wants you to be. He's preparing something for our future that is going to be so good, but there has to be some ingredients in our life to mix it up and make it the way he wants it. So in the four short chapters of Jonah, we see that God has measured out and prepared circumstances for the life of Jonah because of something God sees in his future. He's got to do something in order to get him from where he made the wrong decision. There were four portions that God prepared for Jonah. It was the recipe, if you will. There was the fish, the gourd, the worm, and the wind. All had to be mixed together. All had to be put together in a certain order for God to get the result that he wanted. Those four ingredients would help prepare Jonah for his future, and God has measured out exactly what we need, bringing things into our lives in order to get to the place that God wants us to be. We shouldn't be surprised. All things do work together for good for those that are the called according to his purpose. He's putting together a life that he is going to be able to use. Because he's preparing you for something that you don't even know about as yet. So don't be surprised when these things happen to us. Every measure, every ingredient would not make sense if we didn't know that there was an end result that was going to be good. Why? Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Why COVID? Why this pandemic? If we love sight or lose sight of our purpose to win the lost, then the things God puts us through will make sense. But our church cannot become stagnant thinking, okay, yes, I have this information, but I'm not going to go to the lost to tell them that they're going to be destroyed. I'd rather go in another direction. I've got a business I've got to develop. I've got things that I need to do at home. I've got... And that is where Jonah was. He didn't understand why he was going through the things that he was going through. He didn't understand it. The first ingredient that God prepared for Jonah was a fish. Now, I don't know if this was a whale. I'm not really sure if it was a specific fish that God prepared. I've seen whales down in Mexico in spring. There are these humpback whales that jump every 10 minutes out of the water. Some of them are longer than my house. They're just absolutely huge beasts. And the whale was now the fisher of men, you see, looking for something to eat. I can imagine when Jonah saw this fish coming towards him in the churning waves of the sea, mouth wide open, I'm sure he was thinking, can it get any worse than this? You know? Thrown overboard, and now I see this humongous fish coming with his mouth open. I know what's going to happen. In chapter 2, Jonah describes his environment as the belly of hell. Not a good place to be. God, why is this happening to me? As I was reading this account yesterday, I thought for the first time, that fish was the mercy of God. You know, had God not prepared this fish, Jonah would have simply drowned. He would have died. But it was the mercy of God that God prepared this fish to swallow this man. Amen. It could, it just didn't seem like it was a good idea at the time. It had been for God to direct him and preserve his life. Could it be when we see trouble and sickness and we're drowning in debt that it seems like the worst thing that's happening, but God is actually going to use this as a preparation for us for our future? That God has prepared a fish or exactly what we need to get back on track where we're supposed to be, because God is not going to just allow us to walk away from the goodness of God without setting up circumstances in our lives in order to bring us back. That's the mercy of God to get us to move in the right direction to save our lives and ultimately the lives that are around us. Why could COVID-19 be in our midst, God? Maybe it's to get us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe it's to get us to read more. Maybe it's to get us to give more. Maybe it's to get us to pray more, talk to God, depend upon God more. I feel like over the years I've been swallowed by a dozen fish. For my benefit, that I'm still alive spiritually, saved my life because of problems that God has allowed in my life to get me from where I was to a place that he wanted me to be. 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish can change you. Makes you want to pray more. Situations that happen in our life causes us to pray more, talk to God more, get closer to God. Oh, Jonah repented, and God put him back on dry land, the mercy of God, but God wasn't finished baking the cake. Just to take him out of the water and spew him back on dry land wasn't enough. I don't know, maybe he still hadn't changed his mind about what God directed him to do. And after the fish, God prepared another ingredient for Jonah. God prepared a gourd. The gourd sprang up over Jonah as he rested, that it would give him shade and to help him with his sorrow. Again, the mercy of God. Okay, you've gone through an ordeal, and now I'm going to give you some comfort from the hot sun, and you can rest for a while. Jonah 4:6 says, so Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. It didn't happen naturally. This was a supernatural experience in which God allowed this huge gourd to come up and hover over him in order to give him some rest and some comfort. And he knew it had to be God, and he was well pleased. We all have had times when we didn't think we could go another step. I don't know if I can take much more, God. Been there, said that. And God prepares something or somebody to deliver us from our grief or the trepidation that we were going through. Psalms 9:9 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The prophet ran from Jezebel because she made a threat he was going to be dead the next day, but God allowed him to go into a cave and fed him by ravens, bringing food to him that he would be able to restore his physical and his mental needs. The Holy Ghost is constantly comforting us if we'll just reach out to God. John 14:18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. We're looking for somebody to help us when we've got a God who said he will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be with us, regardless of what we go through, because he's prepared a table in the presence of our enemy for us. Psalms 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is our comforter. He's the one who can help us. There isn't any problem that's too big. There's no dilemma that he can't figure out. No problem that he doesn't have the answers for. The third ingredient that God prepared was a worm that smote the gourd and it withered. His comfort was gone. Have you gone through these stages, you know? Oh, it's good, it's bad. Oh, it's good, it's bad, you know? And sometimes you wonder, is it what I'm doing or is God trying to hone my character and make it what he wants? God gives us comfort for a time, but we can get too relaxed sitting under the shelter of the gourd or sitting in a pew and everything is fine. I don't need to do anything. And God's saying, I need to send a worm. Make you a little uncomfortable. So sometimes God has to send the worm to destroy the comfort that we are in, because if we stay under the comfort of the gourd, we won't fulfill our calling or God's purpose. After the Holy Ghost come, you shall be given power to sit on a pew and enjoy the song service. And you can clap your hands harder than anybody else in the church. You can cut up the rug and you can enjoy. that you shall be witnesses. All of this, I love church. I love song service. But don't get too comfortable. Jonah would have been content just watching Nineveh be destroyed. We can't be content watching our city be destroyed. Thus, there's a worm. Hallelujah. Oh, the apple looks so good. But when you realize there's only a half a worm in it after you've taken the first bite. The last ingredient that God prepared for Jonah was a vehement east wind, the final ingredient. Jonah 4 and 8 says, "And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" I just can't handle anymore. I've been going through this now for a year and 2 months. Or maybe you're going through this for the last 2 years and you're thinking it's never going to end. Maybe it's not going to end. And you can get discouraged like Jonah was. This strong east wind caused Jonah to realize it wasn't his ministry that was at stake. Pride had to leave, that it didn't matter what everybody else thought of him. If you really want to be free in your relationship with God, you've got to get free from who cares what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter if you don't like my form of worship. It doesn't matter if you don't like the way I dress. I was sitting in a restaurant Thursday afternoon with my wife. We were down at a harbor, and this is an open-air restaurant, and all of these people were walking by back and forth. Strange. Some of the strangest, different color of hair and different kind of clothes and different kind of... And one guy walked by, and I noticed he had a T-shirt on, and it said, "Normal." And I thought, you know what? We're normal. Everybody else is abnormal. Everybody else is... When you don't care if they don't think you fit in, then you have arrived and you are able to do what God really wants you. You know what Jonah's problem was is, what if I condemn Nineveh and then God changes his mind and saves the city? There goes my reputation. I'm not going to get any preaching gigs for a long time. Glory to God. Pride had to leave. And it's the east wind that shows us that it's not our talent, our abilities, but it is the obedience to what God wants us to do. See, a lot of us feel like we don't have any abilities or any talents, and I'll make a fool of myself doing what God wants me to do. Who cares if you're making a fool out of yourself? Moses said, "I am slow of speech." And God says, "Hey, look at your mouth. Who made your mouth? If I made your mouth, I can put the words in it." You see? God's always looking for somebody who doesn't have any confidence in the flesh, but confidence in what saith the Lord. So Jonah had to come to the end of himself or his comfort or his reputation. And if we are even ever going to reach our world with this gospel, it's only going to be with the anointing wind and the move of God's Spirit. See, not our ability. God's not saying you're going to do it. He's just saying, open your mouth and I'm going to do it. The only thing that turned Nineveh from destruction was a move of God, not the eloquent words of a prophet. It was God already determined, already knowing what Nineveh was going to do before he sent the prophet. He was just the cog in the whole works. Church, I believe especially because of this pandemic that God is preparing the people of Racine and this area for something great. It's almost like Nineveh. Yeah, they're wicked out there. They don't know what they're doing. Please listen. Could it be more important than our comfort, our health, our trouble, our situation, our advancement? Worried about what's going to happen in the election or when is this pandemic ending? It doesn't matter. There's a whole world out there. God has already prepared them. But instead of going down to purchase a ticket on a ship, going nowhere but destruction. God asked Jonah this question. Should I destroy these 120,000 people who don't know their left hand from their right hand? Who don't know God like you know God? Just to make you comfortable? That's God's question to each and every one of us. We're surrounded by people who don't know anything about God. You know who are the most likely people to come into church and receive this glorious gospel? Those who don't know anything about God. I love our comfortable services, but maybe God is sending us a worm to destroy our comfort so we move with the wind of the Holy Ghost to save this city. There are some big fish out there. And maybe some of you were a big fish when God brought you into the church, brought you into the boat. But God says we need to be fishers of men. Hallelujah. Not just standing in a boat. We can't be an aquarium where we display all the beauty of our church here and then outside. Well, there's a whole dying world out there. Glory to God. I'm convinced that we're in a stage right now. God has prepared us to do something great if we're willing to listen to Him. There's so many people out there that are so fearful of what's going on. They're so fearful because of the media, so fearful of the unknown. And we have a confidence in our God that they're looking for. We can't just sit in our comfort and have somebody else go out there. It shocked him. That when the word came to Nineveh that they called for a fast and 120,000 people repented and said, we want God. It shocked him that all of those that were aboard that ship, we want you to talk to your God because ours isn't listening and we know that you can stop this storm. Do you know what? We know we can stop this storm for people who are out there. Hallelujah. God, throw us in the water. Allow us, God, to get involved to save people from the destruction. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I remember Nathaniel Urshan standing behind this pew some years ago, and he was broadcasting a harvest time message to the entire world that was recorded in our church. And it was a great message. But then when the recording stopped, he said this. He said, I remember preaching a great message for harvest time many years ago. And I called my father and asked him, well, what do you think, how do you think the message went? And he said, you just wasted our money again. He said, Dad, what are you talking about? He said, you didn't tell them how to get saved. Now, a message like this doesn't go over very well with the majority of the congregation, because what it's saying is you've got to do something with what you've heard. You get all kinds of information that make you feel good. Information that talks about the goodness of God, and all of that is wonderful. I want to know more about my God every day. But what have we done with the information we already have? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The altar is open. Would you come?